What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In New York, a pimp dismembers a body after watching the TV show Dexter for tips. Mm. In Florida, a 34-year-old woman violently robs her 73-year-old date in a scheme with her ex-boyfriend. And in Saudi Arabia, we cover some unbelievable execution methods. Wow. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, March 7th. On Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Thirsty Thursday. Woody, you got your Wisconsin boys coming in today?
They'll be in this evening. They sure will. And it'll definitely be a Thirsty Thursday.
And Friday and Saturday
and Sunday.
Right.
Yeah. Those boys can drink. Let's say.
Well, which means Monday, you're going to get yourself a little help, right?
A recess mood.
That a boy. Right. We'll get you right on that on Monday.
Break, so we record on Tuesday.
Start pumping a lot of that stuff that Jim's never heard of into you.
That's right. The all the different flavors in a sample pack. Just get it with code.
You know what? I didn't tell you. It's code RLRC. It's always code RLRC. Right. It's take a recess / RLRC.
There you go.
For 15% off your sample pack. But we also have a friend of the show coming in to give us a wellness treatment via IV. We don't have the date locked down yet, but it's going to be somewhere in the next couple of weeks. Okay. So we have that to look forward to.
Interesting.
So between your drinking recess mood and the IV treatment, we should get you back in decent shape following the visit from Wisconsin.
I've been in training for a year. I'm pretty good to go.
Yeah. What's the over-under on boars killed over this time period?
Ooh, that's a good one. It really depends on the different traps and stuff and how much they're moving at night. I'm going to say over-under is 50.
50, okay.
I hope.
I'd say there's a good shot of that.
If I was shooting, it'd be 50.
What's the average weight of those things? What do they weigh about?
Shit, they go from 5 pounds to 400 pounds.
5 pounds?
5 pounds to
like
400
pounds. Like a rat boar? You kill a 5 pounder?
Man, you take the thing, put it, and skin it out, and stuff it full of bacon and pineapple and boudin, and put the whole thing on the pit and smoke it. Oh, my God. That's a Couchon Delay.
I learned so much on this show.
The 400 pounders, that's for hanging and aging and cutting up and making pork chops.
Now, does he go down on one shot, the 400-pounder?
If you Woody Overton, he does.
Where does Woody Overton hit him in order for him to go down in one
shot? Shoot him in the ear.
Look, and they'll charge you, too. They're not like hunting and running away from you. You shoot at them, they come at you.
They have no natural predators. The most destructive animal, period. I mean, of course, we kill them to eat them, but we kill them mostly because of the farmers and the fields and stuff. You spend thousands and thousands or, $100,000 doing your fields and they tear them up in one night. And then your cows got nothing to eat. So your cows are starving. Yeah. Doing a public service. In Wisconsin, half the state of Wisconsin is coming to help me.
Bro, we got to get Mike hunting.
Now, what part of the state exactly will you be for that?
I'm not going to tell exactly. Or no.
Oh, you won't?
I'll be close to the Mississippi line.
Close to the Mississippi line, okay.
On several different pieces of property.
So shout out to you boars hanging out on the Louisiana Mississippi line.
Enjoy your last breath.
You might want to get your ass out of there.
Yeah. Well, it's all good, and it'll be a good time. Hey, we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all, and let's get down to some true crime time for Thirsty Thursday.
All right, and we're going to take you to New York, Brooklyn specifically. And an accused killer pimp studied up on how to dismember one of his sex workers by watching the serial killer drama Dexter in a true crime series known as The First 48. This is according to testimony at his federal murder trial. Mm-hmm. The case against Corey Martin, who is 36, and on trial for the strangling and chopping up of 26-year-old Brandy Odom in April of 2018, has been unfolding in a Brooklyn federal court, including testimony on Tuesday from a junk removal business owner who cleared out plastic bags and a mattress from the crime scene. But Martin got his best ideas on how to cover his tracks from watching television, according to prosecutors. He didn't want the house, after he committed to the crime, to be an active crime scene. So he focused a lot on getting rid of some of the concealed evidence. His accomplice turned government cooperator testified in that blockbuster testimony. Anderson, who was 35, who lived with Martin and Odom in Queens, was arrested alongside the accused pimp in 2020, 2 years after a dog walker found Odom's dismembered torso in Cansory Park in Brooklyn. Did I say that right, Mike? Cansory Park?
Is it Chancery Park? I don't know. I don't know Brooklyn that well.
Oh, okay. I think it's Cansory. You don't have an H. Police found her limbs in garbage bags nearby. As she took the witness stand, she testified he made her watch two TV shows with him. He would discuss crime scenes and what not to do and what things to do to avoid being caught by police. The crime bore resemblance to a fictional killer, Dexter Morgan, who is on Showtime's Dexter, and would methodically cut up bodies and dump the severed remains. Martin meant for someone to find the body, prosecutors said, because he wouldn't be able to collect the insurance payout otherwise. Martin's defense attorneys lay the entire plot on Anderson, stating that she was behind the life insurance scheme and spinning a tale to stay out of prison. How about that? A sex worker with a life insurance policy. I mean, not hating, but right. You know, it's probably not common. Yeah. He was my high school sweetheart, she said, but he abused her throughout their relationship. Before moving in with Martin in his Rosedale, Queens home, she had two sons with other men, and that constantly enraged him, she said. Anderson started getting into sex work around 2014, and she met Odom, who was also doing sex work, when the victim moved into her sister's apartment. Anderson was living downstairs, and the two became friends with each other, and in 2016, they started using Martin's Queens home for their trade and started living with them. He became their pimp and controlled their lives, forcing them to remain naked whenever they were in the house and prohibiting them from showering to satisfy a fetish. So there's
what's
a,
that one called?
A fetish
Wait.
For
I
you.
Have to look it up.
Dirtophilia?
No showering.
Stinkyophilia? Yes.
Yeah. He also beat and repeatedly raped Anderson, she told the jury. There were holes in the walls and throughout the house for me dodging the hits. Martin talked about killing Anderson's son and the boy's father and about murdering one of his friends. He made her take out life insurance policies against her son and youngest child's dad, but eventually settled on Odom and had Anderson pretend to be her sister to take out two policies in her name. Wow. At first, Martin tried to get a friend to shoot Odom in a staged robbery, but that friend testified that he wouldn't do it. Finally, in April of 2018, after Martin sent Anderson and their newborn daughter to stay with her mother, he killed Odom. He sent her a coded text message about a pair of black UGG shoes. Uggs. Uggs, as the kids call them, to let her know it was done. My heart dropped and I said, oh shit, he really did it. Anderson reunited with Martin, and after takeout dinner from Red Lobster, he went to work disposing of the body. He showed her Odom's naked corpse in the bedroom, she said, and the window was open to mask the time of death. He said this is the first time he's ever felt somebody's life leave their body, she recounted, and he told me that he choked her until she was breathing no more. Martin made Anderson tape heavy-duty garbage bags to every surface in the bathroom. It took 2 days for Martin to cut up her body, and he had to go to Home Depot to get a motorized saw. The sound woke her up as she slept. One morning, she stormed into the bathroom and saw Odom with her arms cut off, stored in a garbage bag on the floor. I never chopped up a body before, Martin said, but this is like a meaty area, and it's given me some trouble. When the cutting was done, she drove Martin to Canseri Park twice in 2 nights and helped him ditch the remains.
That's crazy. Yeah, I had a lot of things that I could have interjected, but that's not a funny story.
It's really not.
It's pretty twisted. But I was trying to think. I met this doctor in Vegas at Podcast Movement, and she started her own podcast. She was famous for interviewing all these serial killers, and we were at dinner, and she asked me, had I ever watched Dexter? And I'm like, no, I didn't even know what it was. But she told me, she said, it's about this guy's a serial killer or whatever.
I've never seen it.
But
I've
he's a CSI. He's
Forensic. That's what it is. Yeah. He's a forensic guy that's a serial killer. Yeah. And so he knows how to get away with it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a brilliant show, actually. And they just brought it back. He did a new season, maybe two new seasons, with a slightly different title. But that guy obviously didn't watch Dexter and study his moves all that diligently, because Dexter would never have left that big a mess.
Hate it.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day, maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
We're going to go to Saudi Arabia. I don't think we've ever done a story about Saudi Arabia.
Another place I won't be going back to.
But brutal executions are on the rise in Saudi Arabia, especially during the reign of the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, otherwise known as MBS. He's kind of like he's known as MBS out there, and he's seen this guy. He's around. He goes to clubs. He's out there invisible. Human rights activists are calling the score of beheadings and crucifixions, a relentless killing spree, and saying something has to be done. The Saudi authorities have killed hundreds in capital punishment since the Crown Prince tenure started back in 2015. Despite MBS promising he would limit the use of capital punishments, the number has nearly doubled since he took the throne, according to stats from several NGOs. From 2010 to 2014, there were an average of 70 executions a year, but from 2015 to 22, there was an average of 129 executions a year, a rise of 82%. Last year, the kingdom carried out at least 172 executions, despite these renewed promises from MBS to limit the scope of capital punishment. Saudi Arabia beheaded 81 people in a single day in March of 2022. 81 people in a single day. Jeez. As part of the 193 executions that Amnesty International says were carried out in the country. The majority of state executions in Saudi are still carried out by sword decapitation.
Yep.
Sometimes followed by the crucifixion of the body as the heads are displayed on a stick. But there have also been reports of prisoners sentenced to death by stoning.
Did you say followed by?
Followed by.
So they crucify them after their head's been cut off.
Yes.
Wow.
They put the head on a stick after they decapitate.
Double effort. Yeah.
Well, so that the public can see them. They then hang them. And so the public can see just the heads. Dang. Wow. Beheadings are only carried out by Saudi Arabia and the Taliban and can be used for a variety of crimes, including murder, apostasy, which is abandoning Islam, homosexuality, witchcraft or sorcery, and waging war on God. The sentence is traditionally carried out in a public square on Fridays after prayers to attract an audience and serve as deterrents. Saudi state executioner. Isn't that a title to aspire to? There's a Saudi state executioner. His name is Mohammed Saeed El-Bashi. Previously, he detailed exactly how these brutal killings take place, most of the time with one of his swords, sometimes with a gun. Those who face being beheaded aren't anesthetized at all, but Al-Bashi claimed if he does his job right, those in front of him don't suffer for long. He didn't clarify what for long means. If I let myself feel mercy or compassion for the person I am executing, he will not die at the first stroke. He will suffer. If the heart is compassionate, the hand fails. It can take 2, 3, 4, or 5 strokes. God knows how many. He might not even die, the executioner said in an interview with a Lebanese TV channel. The executioner is giving interviews to the news media. He said, when prisoners get to the execution square, the one in the center of the capital city of Riyadh is locally known as Chop Chop Square.
Chop Chop.
Their strength drains away before he beheads them. Al-Bashi said he would also carry out limb amputations, a punishment he said is outlined in the Quran for thieves. He would cut off a hand or a hand and a leg for which the condemned person only receives local anesthesia. I use a special sharp knife, not a sword. When I cut off a hand, I cut it from the joint. If it is a leg, the authorities specify where it is to be taken off, so I follow that, he explained. The father of seven shockingly involves his family in his work by letting his children clean his bloodied sword after the beheadings. He said he's proud that his son is following in his footsteps after training to be an executioner, already taking on the family legacy from his father. Albeshi told Arab News about his first execution back in 1998. There are many people who faint when they witness an execution. I don't know why they come and watch if they don't have the stomach for it. He admits that he fainted himself when he witnessed his first execution as a little boy. The first thing that came to mind when people talked about executions was the digestive system. I wanted to see it. So I came along, and the moment my father executed the man, I ran to see the digestive system. But all I could see was the man's head flying, and where the neck used to be, there was kind of a well. It went down, he said, and added that it was the last thing he remembered before fainting. Then I got used to it. Saudi authorities deemed the executions necessary to maintain public order and comparable with their interpretation of Sharia law, the Islamic legal code based on the teachings of the Quran. Another brutal execution method in Saudi Arabia is stoning a person to death, which is documented in the Torah and remains in use in Saudi Arabia. Stoning is commonly reserved for women who commit adultery. The accused are placed in holes before a truck unloads hundreds of rocks onto them. The kingdom has been routinely criticized for its prolific use of capital punishment, especially since the de facto ruler, MBS, is seeking to transform the world's biggest crude oil exporter into a business and tourism hub. Activists say the kingdom's continued embrace of capital punishment undermines the image of a more open, tolerant society that is central to MBS's vision of the 2030 reform agenda. I'd say the Mexican and Caribbean murder rates are going to have to go way up before people start checking out Saudi Arabia as a vacation destination, but that's just me. What the F?
Interesting. What do you think the murder rate is in Saudi Arabia?
I'm sure it's pretty damn low.
10 per million people.
Wow.
Yeah, but some forms of deterrence are simply not. I mean, come on.
No, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying
beheading people in a public square, yeah, putting their heads on a stick. That's how they used to do
it. Killing them for homosexuality. I mean, horrible.
It's hard to believe it's part of the same planet.
It's good to be king in your world, right? That dude does what he. What was it that journalist or something went into their embassy and never came out? And they chopped up or something. Yeah,
and it was they established it.
And guess what? Did nothing or whatever. I don't know
look, it's a different
folks,
world,
different folks, different worlds. Interesting about the stoning part. I thought that they literally let people stone them, but you're saying,
yeah, so I thought they threw them, they dump a truck.
I guess it's more efficient. I don't know, bro. That's so bizarre.
But in this guy, so he took over from his father,
yeah,
and now he's passed it down to. His son. You're the executioner of Saudi Arabia, and you go around doing media interviews talking about your. I mean, that's just
kind of like
it's amazing could happen on planet Earth.
That's crazy.
Well, we're gonna go from Saudi Arabia to Florida, and a Florida woman and her ex-boyfriend have robbed a senior citizen under the guise of a romantic date. Yep, if you're a senior citizen, look out for them 30-year-olds. Oh, right?
I read this one.
The Volusia County Sheriff's Office says Chelsea Wright, who is 34, and Andrew Marks, who is 33, were involved in a violent robbery scheme of a 73-year-old man whose injuries required treatment at an area hospital. Police said that the elderly couple arrived at the local hospital around 5 a.m. on Thursday, February 29th, and shared a sword incident regarding his interaction with Wright and Marks. The 73-year-old told hospital staff that he was meeting Wright at a Daytona Beach bar for a romantic date and to discuss the couple's relationship. Wright suggested that the victim come back to her house, and he agreed. He's like, yeah, we're going back to your house. 73-year-old followed Wright to her Plantation Pines home in Ormond Beach, Florida. And along the way, police said she picked up Marks before dropping him off near her home. When the man got out of the car at Wright's home, Mark suddenly reappeared and hit the man in the head with a metal object. Police said he kept hitting him until he fell on the ground. Marks then stole the man's wallet and fled the scene alongside of Wright. At the hospital, the victim was treated for numerous injuries to his head, torso, and arms, and significant lacerations to his head that required staples. He also had his eyes swollen shut, so they were trying to kill him. After the victim's date turned sour, police conducted surveillance on Wright before pulling her over for a traffic infraction and finding some narcotics in her car. During interview with detectives, she lied and said the attacker was an elderly woman with Alzheimer's who she picked up on the side of the road. I mean,
strong story.
That is, yeah, that's like a big lie. I mean, that didn't even sound right. Detectives later discovered text messages between Marks and Wright where they had planned the robbery together and had previously dated. Marks was located and arrested early Friday on charges of robbery with a weapon and aggravated battery on a victim over the age of 65. And Wright was arrested as principal on the same charges. So
basically, principal.
Did she first get to the older guy through social media? How did she initially start it with the older guy? It must have been that.
I think they met on Tinder.
Yeah.
It must have been some app.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if he flashed a big wad of cash to impress her at the restaurant.
And he might have.
She texted old boy, said, this spent dude's carrying a couple of G.
Yeah.
No, I mean, older guys, I'm in your demo now. Yeah. There is no free sex in the champagne room. I mean, if a 35-year-old is coming on to you on some social media site, I don't know. How old is she?
33.
It ain't real, guys.
Cheaper to go to OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Why can't we get OnlyFans to sponsor us? We talk about them a lot.
I know. They're getting some free shout-outs.
Right.
On the regular, as they say.
Hey, at least that dude's still breathing.
That's true.
I bet he won't go out with a 35-year-old again.
Very true, Woody Everton. Yeah.
Let's go to Brooklyn. Jim was in Brooklyn a little while ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to take us back to Brooklyn. And this is just unbelievable to me. A 13-year-old Brooklyn boy was shot on his way home from a Brooklyn Nets game. He was targeted for his affiliation with a street crew, according to the police. 13-year-old boy.
Right.
Troy Gill was a member of the Trench Crew and was gunned down by members of a rival gang at Brooklyn Avenue and St. Mark's Avenue in Crown Heights around 10 p.m. on Thursday. He was definitely targeted, a police source said, adding that cops have video of rival gang members from the scene. Gill had just returned to his neighborhood from the Barclays Center in an Uber, according to the cops. He was alone when he was shot and frantically called for his mom to tell her before he collapsed about two blocks away. An ambulance rushed him to Kings County Hospital, but the teen couldn't be saved. Four bullets struck Gill in the chest and arm. A woman who lives in his building said his heartbroken mother was too distraught to talk. Naya Edmonds, who lives in the building next to the scene, said she had just ordered food when she heard a barrage of bullets, and it sounded like they were shooting back and forth at each other. The 28-year-old said, when I found out it was a 13-year-old, I was like, all those shots and a 13-year-old kid. It's not a grown man. It's not a group of people. It's just a kid. Nadia Lopez, who does advocacy work for women previously incarcerated, has lived in the building where he was shot for her entire life, now with her 22-year-old daughter and parents. Lopez, who's 47, returned home around 11:20 p.m. Thursday to find cops canvassing for shell casings outside. In this particular area, there have been a number of incidents related to gang activity that have resulted in shootouts and someone passing away, she said. She said that she and her mom were robbed in the same spot when she was a kid. This is not the safest neighborhood, she said. It's so sad. A 13-year-old. How early are they starting with these kids? Are these kids even going to school? Is there any adult in their lives? She asked. 13-year-old is already part of a gang, already to the point that he's targeted.
It's common.
By another gang.
Well, the gangs get them, they might not have a lot to eat at home or whatever it may be, and they take them in and feed them, give them, spend the money and stuff like that, and they get them in. And the younger they get them in, when they have the 13-year-old commit crimes and they don't get tried as an adult, but it's sad. You know, he's killed by another gang for wearing colors or throwing signs or whatever.
Yeah. And 13, you're in what, like 8th grade? 7th or 8th grade?
My son is 13 now. I think it's 8th grade.
Yeah.
Go get him. Go to school.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, who has a law enforcement to enforce truancy now? Yeah, you know, that's sad, y'all. And like I told you before, last week I got to be the keynote speaker for LOPA, the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, and the Louisiana Coroner's Forensic Association with all the doctors and stuff. And I got to run into Roy and Kristen and Kristen and hang out with them, and had an excellent booth on Louisiana Funeral Services and Louisiana Pet Crematory. We got to hang out and talk, and got to tell me a lot of things I didn't even know about the great business they built under that in Broussard. Boom.
Big American flag.
They built up in Broussard, y'all.
That's right. In Broussard, underneath that big American flag.
Yep. That's it, Jim.
So, Woody, when you're with both of the Kristens, how do you go Kristen 1, Kristen 2, Kristen with an I, Kristen with an E?
They made it abundantly clear. It's the names are spelled different with the E or whatever. I go with black-headed Kristen and brown-headed Kristen.
Black-headed Kristen, brown-headed Kristen. Okay, I'll remember that.
They both I'll have to personalities, look. Both super sweet, super cool. Yeah.
Did they know that you were taking 400 pictures to post on Facebook while they were together?
They took them on their phones also.
They did.
And huh? I got their personal contacts and Roy's personal contacts.
Okay, I did see one where somebody mentioned meeting their hero that day. Yeah. I threw up in my mouth, but I'm not sure.
Met me? I wasn't there that day.
Yeah, I don't think it was about you, Jim. But.
Okay.
Well, you know what, Mike? I mean, I'll always be a professional, but these guys are, and I love it when the regional company sponsors a show, but I love it so much more when we learn that these companies have a great product and are run by great people. These guys are super, y'all.
I say it all the time. We're going to go at some point, and it's reassuring to know that when that happens, or when it happens to a family pet, we've got people we can turn to that we can trust.
Well, I'm psyched about this trip we're taking up there in a couple of weeks, and it really should be fun, and I'm looking forward to Jim losing his lunch before I do, and I don't know how much we're going to bet on that, but we're gonna bet a lot on that, and we're going to work on the Kristen with the black head of hair versus brown head of hair. There has to be an easier way.
Well, whether it's a family pet or a family member, and whether it's a direct cremation or a traditional two-day funeral service with a graveside burial, you know what to do. Call 1-800-FUNERAL. That's 1-800-FUNERAL. Or go to LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com. That's LAFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com.
Or just go drop in on them up there in Broussard under that big American flag.
Rest easy. All right. And we are going to go to Georgia.
Georgia.
The devil went down to Georgia, and we're going down there too. That's right. We're going to tell you about a 57-year-old road rage driver. A 57-year-old road rage driver is behind bars after beating a teen, leaving him unconscious, and threatening to sexually assault his 15-year-old sister. On Wednesday, February 28th, a Gwinnett County, Georgia officer responded in reference to a possible assault. An 18-year-old victim told the officer he was driving with his 15-year-old sister in the passenger seat of the car when he and another motorist by the name of Dwayne Sutterneth exchanged hand gestures, as he called it, flipping a bird.
Flipping a bird.
You know, the international sign language there. Sutterneth reportedly began driving behind the victim in his blue pickup truck and then tried to run him off the road. The victim said he drove onto a private driveway when Sutterneth parked behind him, exited his truck, and began to punch him repeatedly in the face through the window. Sudden Mirth also threatened to sexually assault the victim's, quote, girlfriend, who is actually the victim's sister. Suddenworth continued to beat him as he got out of the car. He eventually lost consciousness and called law enforcement when he woke up. With the help of a Flock safety camera system, police identified Suddenworth as the owner of the blue pickup truck. Officers went to his home on Sunday, March 3rd, and arrested him on charges of aggravated battery, two counts of aggravated assault, terroristic threats, first-degree cruelty to children, third-degree cruelty to children, entering an auto, and aggressive driving. So they threw the freaking book at this dude, as they should.
Yep.
And police say he is being held without bond. My question would be, anybody here ever flip out when someone flips them off while they're driving?
Nah, I don't give a shit about that. Hey, one time I was riding down the interstate and they had this, and I was in my cop car, uniform patrol, and they had this lady in one of those 1977 Lincolns that's so long you could land an airplane on top of them.
Yeah.
You know, like an aircraft carrier. And she's doing like 95 miles an hour in the slow lane. I mean, she passed me up and then got it back in the slow lane, but kept going like 95 miles an hour. I know, because I was going like 80. So I would get up behind her and turn on my lights. She ain't stopping. And she just kept rolling. I get up beside her. I'm like, hey. And she went,
flip me the bird. No way.
I said, bitch, now you know you're going to jail. You know what it was? I finally got her stopped. And had cops up ahead to help me stop her or whatever. I should tell this story. I won't really have a crime. You get her out. And her excuse was, she said, I'm going to the casino. I mean, she was older. I'm hurrying up to get to the casino. I'm like, well, your ass ain't going to the casino tonight.
That's bad. Well, you know what?
Road rage never really got me. People do it, though. You wouldn't believe the calls we used to get. Because I-12 running through thing. Oh, it's a 911 call, road rage. I'm in like 20 miles from the interstate. Can you respond? I'm like, yeah, I'll be on the lookout for him.
Yeah. Just had a guy kill another guy right here in Livingston Parish.
That's like a
over a road rage incident. Yeah. He was in the right. The other guy raged on him, and he shot him guy came in his car.
Look, it happened every day in California. You would not believe how bad the traffic gets at points, and people get in situations where they have to be somewhere and they're completely effed, and then they will break every rule that they'll drive on the median. You have people that do all kinds of things to allow them to get into the HOV lane, whether it's mannequins in the passenger seat or what have you, all this kind of stuff. But every now and then it gets nuts. The motorcycles are like one of the most dangerous things, because those guys are just weaving through. And if you don't see them coming and you just happen to slide a foot or a foot and a half over to the right or left of center lane, you might clip one of them. I mean, it just
that's all now.
Nuts. What there was something you mentioned there about camera. Like, did you say Flock safety? Something?
Yeah.
What is that?
I think it's like cameras that they have. They have these in New Orleans as well, and they're just like cameras that sit on light poles, and they're in areas where there's typically high crime is where you'll see them, and they're essentially – it's not a Big Brother thing. They're not freaking popping people for smoking weed.
They go back and look at it after, see if there's been a violent crime or a robbery. Even if it's several blocks away, they can – try to develop suspect vehicles by what
that's like CCTV is in the UK and stuff.
Something like that. But. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So there you have it.
There you have it.
Okay. Well, let's go to Cali, since we were just talking.
LL Cool J went there.
Cali. According to the El Cajon police, a dentist was shot and killed at his California office Thursday by a, quote, disgruntled former patient who planned out the slaying weeks in advance. Mohammed Abdul Karim, age 29, allegedly stormed into Smile Plus Dentistry and Orthodontics wearing all black clothing around 4:15 and began opening fire. The gunfire struck two adult men and one adult woman. The gunman then hopped in a U-Haul pickup with Arizona plates and fled the scene. First responders arrived within just 2 minutes, but one of the men died at the scene. The others were rushed to the hospital in serious but stable condition. Though police did not name the victims, the deceased was identified as Dr. Benjamin Haruni, a Jewish dentist who worked at the dental practice owned by his father. Receptionist Yareli Carrillo, age 28, and a man in his 40s were the other victims of the shooting. The shocking shooting spurred a manhunt for the U-Haul and Abdul Karim, who police described as armed and dangerous in an active shooter alert warning. He was captured roughly 5 hours later when a citizen reported the rental truck abandoned in San Diego. Abdul Karim was found nearby along with a loaded handgun and several loaded handgun mags. The shooting appeared to have been planned weeks in advance. Records show that Abdul Karim legally purchased the handgun 2 weeks prior to the incident and rented the U-Haul 1 hour before allegedly gunning down his ex-dentist. While the exact motive behind the shooting remains under investigation, it's believed that Abdul Karim was a disgruntled former customer. While the victim of the shooting was a member of the Jewish community, police say they have found no evidence that this was a hate crime. Smile Plus Dentistry lists Haruni as one of three doctors who worked for his father, Jack, who owns the El Cajon-based office. Abdul Karim was booked into a San Diego jail on felony charges, including one count of murder and two counts of attempted murder. He's being held without bail. This is tragic, and I'm not trying to take away from that, but it sets a new bar as far as being a disgruntled customer of a dentist. I mean, what could the dentist possibly have done to, I mean, he's a dentist.
But I don't know. Like,
see, I'm thinking, more likely financial than pain caused by a treatment.
Right? I don't know. The highest suicide rate in the U.S. is dentists. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know why we do it, but I guess they're going to find out.
I mean, nothing's safe.
Yeah. Shit, I don't know.
All right. Well, look, there's been a post that's kind of went viral on Instagram, Facebook, and all that. And it has to do with when cops retire. And I read it the other day, and I thought it'd be good to read this on the show. Kind of reminded me of our co-host here, Woody Overton. So, and this came from a retired cop, and he wrote a little kind of a synopsis of what these retired cops go through. And he says, when a good cop leaves the job and retires to a better life, many are jealous. Some are pleased, and yet others who may have already retired wonder. We wonder if he knows what he's leaving behind, because we already know. We know, for example, that after a lifetime of camaraderie that few experience, it will remain as a longing for those past times. We know in the law enforcement life, there is a fellowship which lasts long after the uniforms are hung up in the back seat or in the back of the closet. We know even if he throws them away, they will be on him with every step and breath that remains in his life. We also know how the very bearing of the man speaks of what he was and in his heart still is. They're the burdens of the job. You will still look at people suspiciously, still see what others do not see or choose to ignore, and always will look at the rest of the law enforcement world with a respect for what they do, only grown in a lifetime of knowing. Never think for one moment you are escaping from that life. You are only escaping from the job and merely being allowed to leave active duty. So what I wish for you is that whenever you ease into retirement, in your heart, you never forget for one moment that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, and you are still a member of the greatest fraternity the world has ever known. There are those who think they understand, and then there are cops.
That's amazing.
Where did that come from?
That was a post that's kind of went viral online, a retired cop.
So every word of it's the truth. I mean, everything from, you know, I'll look at certain cars and think, oh, they got dope in them. Or, you know, sitting back at all walls and restaurants or seeing these young bucks coming up and really wishing them well and telling them to stay safe to, you know, whatever. You'll never, it's like being in a foxhole in a war, being in a battle.
Yeah.
It's the same. You'll never get it. You put your lives in each other's hands every day. It's just, and you always bleed blue.
And the camaraderie and fellowship. Yeah, and
absolutely. You can't make that anywhere other than unless you're working daily with someone like in the military, someone who you're putting your life in their hands. And that's pretty awesome. You know that most cops, retired cops, die within like a year.
Yeah.
And, whether it's health reasons or suicide or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kinky Crimes for Thursday. And y'all, Jim, I'm not stealing your story. This could have been a Mile High Crime.
Only Mike steals my story. Right,
but this was just a little too kinky. So a woman has been arrested after walking through Miami International Airport in nothing but dark blue underwear.
Oh,
she was first.
Great choice of color, by the way.
Right, that's my favorite color. She was first spotted strolling past baggage claim, singing aloud to herself. The woman proceeded to remove all items of clothing, exit the airport building, and mount, wait for it, a police car.
There you go.
Before now taking it into kinky custody, right? Bizarre airport incident was captured on the video phones of bystanders, showing the entire episode, which happened Wednesday shortly after midnight. A woman who was seen serenely walking through arrivals did not appear to be in distress. Composed and possibly delusional, she was later filmed sat in a lotus position, fully naked on the roof of a police
car. Oh, I bet there was many cell phones.
Yes, these
filming this one.
It's a shock. In fact, you wouldn't believe what you're looking at. It looks as if it isn't real, traveler said. Airport police said that the woman, who is from outside Florida State, was submitted for mental evaluation.
You think?
The airport did not say whether she had arrived as a passenger. When spoken to, the woman was reportedly incoherent and delusional. And until police intervened, no one had tried to offer help to the disoriented person. At this stage, no damage or injuries reported, and police do not expect charges because she's what we call 103M in the business, just a little bit outside her mental box. I mean, you know, you could do anything, but that's the first time I've ever heard of one mounting, climbing up on top of a cop car and sitting in a lotus position, butt naked. Yeah.
Well, she did keep her underwear on, right? Or did she? She didn't get rid of the underwear.
She eventually got rid of the underwear.
Oh, she did get rid of the underwear.
I had a printed picture of it, but I don't know what happened to it.
She eventually got rid of everything.
Mike, you know Mike's going to want to see photo proof of this incident. Look, he's grabbing the paper, y'all.
Yeah, she she walks outside.
It's a blurry picture.
Goes on top of the police car.
What's she got in there?
What is the lotus position?
The lotus
position. I think it's like,
cross legs are crossed. Like this. Yeah.
Okay.
We call it like the Iranian fighting position.
Interesting.
Well, that's
kinky crimes for Thursday.
Poor girl.
Navy blue underwear. Great. I like it.
Yeah, interesting.
Give me some banjos, Jim. Okay, I've got a special dumb criminals today.
All right.
It's a Hollywood dumb criminals.
Here we go.
You guys both know the Biebs, right?
The who?
The Biebs. Justin Bieber.
So you on first name base with him, like
the Beebs lived in my hood for a while.
Did he?
Yeah, he lived in my neighborhood for a while. But I mean, you guys aren't fans?
I mean,
no.
Can either of you name a Justin Bieber song?
I absolutely cannot.
You cannot?
Come on. Not even one. Evidently you can't either.
Or operator phone, right, for that matter.
I got nothing.
You don't know that song?
I don't listen to the radio.
Anything about it.
Jesus. Okay, shut up, Biebs.
No more than I care about.
Shut up, Biebs.
Beaver. Biebs.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Biebs. So. All right, you guys know the Baldwin brothers, though, right?
Baldwin brothers?
Of Rust fame?
The Rust
fame. So there's Alec, Daniel, Billy, mm-hmm. and
they beat
Steve.
The shit out of the Biebs.
So, well, Alec is Hunt for Red October, Working Girl, and maybe eventually Rust, your favorite movie. Steven was The Usual Suspects.
18 Seconds.
I am Kaiser Sose. What? And Billy Baldwin, Internal Affairs, Flatliner. So these guys have been in a bunch of movies. Haley Baldwin was a top model on her own. She's the daughter of Stephen Baldwin.
How do you spell Haley?
H-A-I-L-E-Y. Yeah. She's the daughter of Stephen. She hooked up with the Biebs, and the rest, as they say, is history. Haley Baldwin is now Haley Bieber. Today, we have a special Dumb Criminals involving a member of the Bieber-Baldwin Hollywood clan. Her name is Alea Baldwin Aronow, and she's the sister of Hailey Bieber and the daughter of Stephen Baldwin and the recipient of our first Dumb Hollywood Criminal Award. So without further ado, here's how Alea achieved this award.
It was.
Alea Baldwin Aronow was charged with simple assault and battery after a bar fight in Savannah, Georgia. A spokesperson for the Savannah Police Department says that Aronow, a model and influencer who is also the sister-in-law of Justin Bieber, the Biebs, was taken into custody at a residence in the city following a physical altercation at a bar called Club Elan on February 24th. According to the police report, security footage showed Aronow forcing her way into an employee bathroom. Two bouncers and a bartender say they told her she wasn't allowed in and needed to use the public restroom. That's when Aronow became combative. One bouncer told police that Aronow yanked his hair. The other, who said he put the model in a bear hug, claimed she kicked him in the genitals. A bartender at Club Elan, a woman, claimed that Aronow told her that she needed to use the bathroom to throw up and to change her tampon. The bartender granted Aronow a few minutes, but when the bartender returned, Aronow allegedly threw a tampon at her. Aronow was then physically removed from the bar. Police say that when they received a call from Aronow, who said she had been forcibly removed from the bar, when speaking to police, Aronow at first denied throwing the tampon at the bartender, but later recanted and admitted that she had thrown it. When asked about her alleged physical confrontation with the bouncers, Aronow claimed she was acting in self-defense. She was also charged with battery and criminal trespassing. As a tribute to his sister-in-law, Justin Bieber has announced in his next release will be a song with only banjos as the accompaniment. Tossing tampons stop. In Hollywood.
Just quit. That is like recess, no class. Right?
Yeah. Well, the bald, you know, I mean, but the dad is a Baldwin dad and. The Biebs, you're tossing tampons. That sort of reminds me of the Chris Christie's niece on the plane.
I threw up in my mouth.
Now, instead of going through the family tree, though, why didn't you say Stephen Baldwin's daughter?
Because it's a one chance I get to talk about Hollywood. I have to find a crime and a connection to Hollywood. How else could I play a Biebs clip?
And then you don't mention his best role, which was as Lane Frost on 18 Seconds.
Oh, that was a good one.
Obscure. Don't know it.
Oh, my God. You've never seen 18 Seconds, the story of Lane Frost?
Got killed.
Don't know it.
He's the reason they were.
He didn't play Lane Frost. He actually played Tough Heaterman.
Yeah, his friend, yeah.
Luke Perry played Lane Frost.
I gave him Usual Suspects. It's pretty much
that was a
classic.
Good movie. That was a good movie. All right.
Kaiser.
Shout out to Tough Heaterman.
I am Kaiser Sose.
Yeah. Well, that's a disturbing story.
Yeah. On that note,
tampon tossing.
Any final thoughts?
I don't like to hear that word. No, there's love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you. Please, if you want to see that naked lady in the airport, go to Real Life Real Crime Daily.
Yeah.
And follow it. So right. Thank you all.
If you want to listen to the Biebs, you can go to Apple Music or Vivo or anywhere else they're playing his songs.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening as Mike snuck in his usual bullshit. Mm. And we appreciate you.
All right. I'm not even going to. Mike's already done his final thoughts today on the Biebs.
Usual bullshit.
We already know.
Offended.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm the guy with the usual bullshit.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.